Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a Syrian refugee's powerful story of survival inspires a new book by Melissa Fleming of the UN Refugee Agency. A young Syrian refugee woman's remarkable story of surviving one of the worst shipwrecks in the Mediterranean has been told in a book written by the chief spokesperson for the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Melissa Fleming recently presented A Hope More Powerful Than the Sea at UN headquarters in New York. Although she has heard many stories of resilience over the course of her career, Doa Al-Zamel's story haunted her, Ms. Fleming said. The young woman was among 11 people who survived when a boat carrying 500 people sunk at sea back in 2014. Doa and her fiancé had boarded the vessel in Egypt, where she lived with her family. She watched him drown along with hundreds of other passengers. A record 65 million people are displaced worldwide, mainly driven by the Syrian war and other protracted conflicts, according to UNHCR. Melissa Fleming said she hoped people who read the book will start caring and understanding why refugees risk their lives to come to their countries. Anna Kamu began by asking her why Doa's story kept her awake.
You know, I'd love to tell all 65 million stories of all of the forcibly displaced people in this world, but I can't. But Doa's is particularly remarkable because not just does she come from the city where the Syria war was sparked, she was also a refugee in one of the neighboring countries that is hosting so many. There's a love story. There's the story of the notorious smugglers, and she survives one of the worst shipwrecks on the Mediterranean Sea and even manages to save a baby. So the resilience and the strength of the human spirit that is so evident through the story of Doa is one that people really are not just moved by, but also inspired by.
So Doa is from Dara, where many would say the Syrian civil war began. And I've read the book, and it's clear that she wanted to fight for her country. What can you tell us about her and her family?
Well, Doa comes from a very simple family. Her father was a barber. She did not want to be like the other girls, though. She was not interested in getting married. She wanted to study. And when the protests started, she actually was, really motivated to go out. And she defied her father very often because he was so worried about her safety. But she went out in the streets and marched, just wanting to be, part of the movement, wanting more freedom of speech and human rights. And so she was a witness to the beginning of the violence, and not just the beginning, but when war engulfed her city, when tanks rolled in, when bombs started falling, when people were just terrified for their lives.
She starts by going to Jordan first, then to Egypt. My understanding is that you also wanted to talk about the neighboring countries and the situation over there.
Well, through Doa's story, you can also see that the neighboring countries are the countries that are hosting the majority of Syrian refugees, 5 million. Egypt was one of them. When she first went to Egypt with her family, it was a very welcoming place, but when the government changed, it became less so. And so, but like in all of the countries that host so many refugees, the refugees struggle because those countries themselves are having their own difficulties. And UNHCR is always underfunded and can only provide pretty much the basics. So all the dreams of, studying and making a good living, they've just completely were not just destroyed by the war, but also by the fact of being in a refugee in a situation like that.
It's also in Egypt where Doa ends up meeting Bassem, her fiancé. So this story is about love, but it's also about losing that love. What was the hardest part of writing it?
Well, the love story itself, it takes, I think, more than two chapters because Doa was also not interested at all at the beginning. And so it's quite a pursuit. It's almost Shakespearean. But finally, when she does agree and does really fall in love with Bassem, he starts convincing her, this is no life. You want to study. I want to work. We want to get married. they'd heard from their friends who had already made the journey to Europe that there they could not just be safe, but also she could study and he could find a job. And so he convinced her, even though she was terrified of the water, she'd had a near drowning experience as a young girl. He convinced her to take this journey. They sold everything and paid the smugglers $2,500 each, which was a fortune for them, and ended up boarding not a luxury liner, as the smugglers promised, but a really decrepit, rusty, rundown boat packed with 500 refugees, among them 100 children.
Doa witnessed hundreds of other refugees die. When you met her for the first time back in 2015, how did you find her?
I think there's not a human being in this world who would go through what Doa went through that would not be deeply, deeply traumatized. She was very traumatized. She lived a nightmare beyond what anyone could possibly imagine. She really witnessed the drowning of 500 people, and some, you know, just one after the other before her eyes, including Bassem, her fiance, who after 2 days of treading water next to her, you know, slipped from her hands and just had to give up his struggle. And the parents of the little babies that she was trying to save, the grandfather of little Malik, the mother and father and older sister of little Masa, drowning before her eyes at night in the freezing cold, the babies crying, the corpses, you know, all around her, frightening situations, and no food and no water. The strength that she had to keep those babies alive kept her alive, and the fact that these two, you know, 19-year-old and an 18-month-old survived is actually almost miraculous.
She's now living in Sweden. She's reunited with her family. What role did UNHCR play in reuniting her with them?
The wonderful program called Refugee Resettlement that UNHCR runs, which matches refugees who are in need, traumatized women like Doa, or people with who are under threat like her parents, or other cases. We were able to connect them with the Swedish government and to facilitate the moving in an airplane to Sweden, and the Swedish government settled them in a small snowy village where they're now learning Swedish. She's healing from her trauma and now again thinking of a brighter future.
What do you hope to reach with the book?
I hope, you know, refugees are becoming statistics, or even worse, they're being used as, you know, to fuel xenophobia because of the large numbers and because of their desperation. I hope that through Doa's story that I can build a bridge of empathy to people, and that they'll start caring and understanding why refugees like Doa take these kind of risks to come to their countries, why refugees like Doa deserve our compassion and our help.
What's the best thing you can say to the listeners who want to help with the refugee crisis?
I think there's so many ways you can help refugees. I mean, I think one of the problems is when we say there are 65 million people who need our help, then most people would say, oh my, well, that's too many. I say, do one thing. You know, if you can help in one way in your community, it depends on where you live, but in most countries in the world, there are refugees in the community. If you could help one, you know, mentor a child who needs help in school, show the ropes to a family who's just arrived, spend some time with them. Or if there are no refugees in your community, UNHCR accepts donations from the private sector, and we're desperately in need of funding. We have, you know, even $10 a month makes a huge difference to UNHCR's budget, and it goes directly to help refugees. So I think there's always something that one can do, and everyone I know who does something, especially if it's in direct contact with refugees, feels not just really good about it, but they also find it extremely gratifying because they get to hear amazing stories of survival and resilience and help that person to recover.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.